LeafGuard has earned the Good Housekeeping Seal for over 20 years.
Well, that's fine, but
it has been lab-tested to handle up to 32 inches of rainfall an hour.
Okay, that's very impressive.
Don't deal with those old gutters any longer.
Look, the thing is,
LeafGuard, the only seamless one-piece rainwater management system with a clog-free guarantee.
I don't know what Irish dancing
and lifetime transferable warranty.
I'd like to transfer you, I'll tell you
it's
that.
It's LeafGuard Celebrate America sale.
Oh, come on now.
75% off installation of a complete LeafGuard system.
I don't care.
You'll receive a bonus, a $250 Visa gift card with your LeafGuard purchase.
How about you give me that gift card without a purchase? I mean, if it's a gift, after all.
Act now and get no interest and no payments until 2028.
You know, I already have no interest.
Call 1-800-398-2198.
I'm not calling your damn number.
Call 1-800-398-2198.
No. Look, I'm not calling your stinking number, and I need you to shut up right now.
Let me give you that number again.
Oh, come on, no.
1-800-398-2198.
Look, okay, if you say that again, I'm going to do something you and I are both going to regret.
1-800.
Don't do it.
398-2198.
Okay.
Let me give you that number again.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt our program of dance music to bring you a special bulletin from the Intercontinental Radio News.
It's time for Peculiar Podcast, hosted by Pat Cashman.
Gorgeous to look at.
And Lisa Foster.
She's dangerous.
See, you're on.
Ready or not, it's Pat and Lisa.
Yeehaw! Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
It's love and time.
And away we go again.
Hello, Pat Cashman, if that is your real name.
No, it's not my real name, but my real name is actually Larry Real, if you'd like to know the truth. This music, I'm sure you're familiar with it, and everybody else is, the theme from The Pink Panther, 1963. And it is highlighted by the saxophone artistry of a man who passed away just last week. His name, Plaz Johnson. He was 94 years old. And this is him playing the theme from Pink Panther on the saxophone. There's the theme, and then later in the song, he just kind of goes into this improvised solo. Here's a bit of that. Very, very cool.
Yes.
And he was also a mainstay of a bunch of musicians known as the Wrecking Crew. Have you ever heard of the Wrecking Crew?
I think so.
They would bring these guys in to play on Beach Boys records or the Monkees or the Byrds. One of the members of the Wrecking Crew, before he became famous himself, was Glenn Campbell. They said, hey, we need a really good guitar player. Let's bring him in. Well, Plaz Johnson, saxophonist, was one of those Wrecking Crew people, too. When you needed a saxophone, that's who you brought in. And here's another guy that maybe you never heard of. I haven't heard his name, but certainly have heard his music. Joe Melson. Melson, M-E-L-S-O-N, 91 years old. He wrote with Roy Orbison.
Oh.
They co-wrote songs together, and they agreed early on, Roy's going to be the singer, and I'm going to be the co-writer of the songs. Only the Lonely. Melson, however, is singing backup in here. He's the guy doing Dum Dum, Dummy Doo Dum Wum, or whatever. Here it is from 1960. And he co-wrote Blue Angel.
Oh, Blue Angel, don't you cry. Just because.
Running scared.
Just running scared.
Crying.
You couldn't tell that I've been crying.
And the great Oh Pretty Woman.
Pretty woman, walking down the street. Pretty woman, the kind I like to meet. Pretty woman.
Joe Melson, 91 years old. Freddie Cannon passed away. They call him Freddie Boom Boom Cannon.
I know that name. I know that name, but I don't know who he is. I know that name.
You know his song. His most famous song was this one, Palisades Park.
Last night I took a walk after dark. I swing a place called Palisades Park. Tattoo Park, and see what I could see.
It's a song written actually by Chuck Barris. Who some people might remember was the crazy host of The Gong Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to say a big welcome to Anna Novelli.
Lay my pistol down, babe. Lay that pistol down.
Oh, yeah. So awesome.
Yeah, he was.
He wrote the song. Mold.
Freddie Cannon made it famous. His first hit, Freddie's was a one called Tallahassee Lassie.
She comes from Tallahassee. Woo! She got a hi-fi chassis. Woo! Maybe looks a little sassy. Woo! But to me she's real classy. Woo! Yeah, my Tallahassee Lassie down in FLA.
And that was when he called himself Freddie Carmen, because Carmen was his real name. Freddie Carmen and the Hurricanes. Tallahassee Lassie. The song came out. It was Freddie's first big hit. He was very excited. He opens the box of records, the first pressing, and sees that the artist is named Freddie Cannon. The producer just decided to rename him. He thought it sounded better. And Freddie said, okay, I guess I'll go with that. And he kept the name. Remember the song, Where the Action Is?
Baby, come on, let me take you where the action is.
Oh, baby, come on, let me take you where the action is.
It was the theme song to a TV show by that name. He wrote this one, too, called Action.
Come on down and listen to the guitar play.
And even though Freddie Cannon was 89 years old, he released a new song just in February of this year. This one, All She Wants to Do is Dance.
Oh, I love that song.
All she wants to do is dance, dance. This girl's out of control.
He did it too. Freddie Cannon, 89.
All she wants to do is dance, dance. All she wants to do is dance.
Another musician, Glenn Hansard, 56 years old, died in a motorcycle crash. Okay. He was an Irish guy, the front man for a group called The Frames, a very popular Irish band. And Glenn Hansard won an Oscar for the song Falling Slowly from a movie called Once in 2006.
I don't know you, but I want you all the more for that.
An actor, Sam Neill, died, 78 years old. He's in a bunch of movies. He was born in Ireland. His family moved to New Zealand, and then he lived in Australia, so he had citizenship in all three of those countries. Mm-hmm. He was in a bunch of movies, My Brilliant Career, The Hunt for Red October, The Piano, The Dish, but probably best known as a paleontologist character in the Jurassic Park franchise.
It's a dinosaur.
So good.
Yeah, he's very good. Sam Neill, he was considered for the part of James Bond when they were trying to find a new one, and I think he would have been great at that.
I think you're right.
It went to somebody else. And he also had a part as a very corrupt man in the show Peaky Blinders. Did you ever watch Peaky Blinders?
I did, yes.
It's a wonderful show. I recommend it to anybody. Peaky Blinders.
Sam Neill, 78. Okay. that's it. I know there's other people that have checked out, but those were the ones that caught my attention. In relative terms, how are you feeling?
Yeah. Well, funny you should ask. I just had a birthday, and I wanted to thank you.
I know you did, yeah.
For my lovely gifts. And
did you receive a late gift as well?
Has it arrived?
It should arrive today, I think.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm going to sit in a folding chair by the front door and wait for it.
Well, I don't know that it would be worth that, but
That's so kind of you.
Well, we saw it and we thought of you.
You and Patty are lovely. I
would tell everybody on the podcast what it is, but that would spoil the surprise for you.
Right, so, exactly. Yeah. Do not spoil the surprise. So you're just so kind. I got my little box of gifts. You know that I love books. I'm very, very intrigued by this one that you sent me by Elizabeth Norton called Women Who Ruled the World, 5,000 Years of Female Monarchy.
If I rule the world, every day would be the first day of spring.
And it is very interesting, without getting into it too much, that there was a time when the patriarchy wasn't even a thing. It was the women making all the decisions and figuring stuff out and making things happen.
Thank God that time's over.
I know.
Because men are doing just a terrific job.
You guys are doing awesome.
Yeah, just awesome.
Say you guys are doing fabulous.
Good boy.
But the best one, well, and first of all, I want to thank you for the little name tags. I don't know if you can describe what these are, and I haven't quite figured out how they work. So you had given me an envelope that said you had emceed an event.
Yes, I emceed an event for, it was like an adoption service or a foster parents. And so they had these little name tags, ribbons, that have the sole word foster on them.
To identify people at the event who were fostering kids, I imagine.
Yes.
Well, I appreciate that. But what's so odd to me is that the sticky part is on the front where it says foster. So I don't know how you stick it on. The sticky part's not on the back.
Look, I just gave them to you. I'm not sitting here giving instructions, okay?
I needed instructions with that. But then my favorite thing is my microphone.
And yes. I had long promised it, but I hadn't sent it yet.
I know. And
it's identical to the microphone.
Oh, this is the same one you have?
Well, it works the same. It's not exactly the same, but it's just as primitive. It's got that noise, and you can make an echo with it, too.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. So I've just now, it's very fancy. Oh, I see you talking to that end. Okay, you think I'd be familiar with mics by now. No, I haven't tried it yet. I don't even know if it's charged up, but
it should be. It should be, I think.
Bluetooth
mode.
Okay, I heard it come on.
Okay, then what do I do?
Then just speak into it and... You know, run the volume up. Let's hear how it sounds.
Hey, Pat. Okay.
Well, that sounds pretty cool. Now hey, do Pat. The echo. Okay.
The echo?
It says echo on it. So, isn't it great?
I love it so much.
Imagine an unwanted salesperson shows up at your door. You use that device to get rid of them.
Hey, you go away.
I'm getting in my car and peeling out.
When I rule the world.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Thank you. So, yes, I just had a birthday. It was a milestone birthday. I just turned 65 years old, if you can freaking believe it.
I don't need your rocking chair. Geritol or your Medicare? Well, I still got neon in my veins. This gray hair don't mean a thing.
I thought you were a lot older than that.
Thank you for that.
I would have put you in more about an 85.
But. Yeah, I do tell people that, because then when you say that, they go, "Oh my God, you look fantastic."
I don't need your rocking chair.
So that is the trick. Anyway. Always lie up. Don't ever lie below your age. But I wanted to share with you what I have on my calendar today. And because I am 65, I now get to take advantage of...
You know what I have on my calendar?
What?
Gravy.
Well, I don't need your rocking chair.
I have that on mine, too. But I'm my sorry. Calendar today, because I now have Medicare coverage, and I can... Because I didn't have health insurance before. I worked for myself. It's very expensive. It was about $1,000 a month just to get private insurance. So I kind of just crossed my fingers till I got to the 65, and now it's awesome. But on my calendar today, Pat Cashman, I wanted to let you know that I have this task. I have several tasks on here. One of the things says, schedule colonoscopy. I just wanted you to know that because you have been bitching at me for years to go get this done.
I just found out something, Lisa, by the way.
What?
And I am very proud of you for doing this. So that's good.
Yes,
everybody,
but
they say you should start having one.
In your 40s.
In your 40s now, at least your 50s.
But I just wanted to let you know that I will be thinking about you the entire time.
I don't need your rocking chair.
Oh, that is very sweet. Well, I think it was Martin Short who said, a colonoscopy is like 90% ew and 10% ah. Telling you, don't have any trepidation about this. It really is such a snap. I just thought, man, why did I get so nervous about having this done? I've had, I think, 3 or 4 or 5 of them now.
You just get them done now because you like it. You don't even have to have them.
Exactly. Yeah, you're supposed to get them maybe once every few years.
Yeah,
I get one every week now because I really do enjoy it so much.
Don't they get you really hammered or something? Isn't that part of the deal? Like,
well, I think they goes by different names. You are anesthetized, but I don't think you're in deep anesthesia. It's what they call twilight. You're not even really awake. At least I wasn't. But some people say they are semi-awake, and they can even... They've even watched their own procedure on the TV screen.
Oh, my God, no.
I have no interest in that.
No.
Yeah. But they may do this, Lisa, and they did this for me twice.
Tell me.
They send you home with pictures of it.
Oh.
So you can see.
Why?
It looks like photos that somebody took at Carlsbad Cavern. That's what it looks like.
Why do I want pictures of it?
Well, you probably don't, but if you have them, then I say, blow it up big, take your favorite one, and put it in a big frame and hang it above your fireplace.
My favorite one.
And just let people...
Oh, that's a good angle.
Come walking in your house and go, oh, that's interesting. Where was that? Oh, that? Those are the Oregon sea lion caves. I went there on vacation last year.
Or you could
probably tell them, no, that's my last colonoscopy. I was so happy with it, I decided to put it up above the fireplace.
Don't you think it's pretty? let's back way up to the... I thought there were some fun pills involved in this. There's no fun pills? You don't get any, like, little get-you-stoned pills for this whole thing? No?
Not pills, but you go in... there are several people in the room, and one of them is the guy or woman that gives you the anesthesia, which they put, you know, this thing in your nose, and you breathe
they
it
put
in.
Put it in your nose? What?
Until you start counting backwards, and I think I made it to 3. And
they put a mask on you.
No? I can't. You know, I don't remember that part.
Okay.
They either put one of those little masks like.
Okay.
Someone would use if they were flying a plane.
Yeah.
Or maybe just the two little,
little things that
go into your nostrils.
So they don't give you little happy pills to calm you down on the trip over? You don't get, like, to get, like, happy and, like...
No. I didn't anyway. Maybe you could ask for that. Maybe that's something. And then, of course,
I was looking forward to that part.
Well, I think the thing that most people have a trepidation about is the prep that you have to have the night before.
Oh, no. What?
You know this. Don't you know
this? You drink a bunch of stuff and poop all night? Is that the deal?
Well, not during your sleep, I hope. But, yeah, you drink. And I'm told it's changing. And some of these things are, becoming less onerous. But every time I've done it, they send you home with this bottle and this powdered stuff. I mean, I don't know how it works, but it makes you void yourself. Let's put it that way. And you think, I'm done.
What a highbrow way to say what you're trying to say.
Well, think about it from the doctor's point of view.
Well, this is true.
They don't want to. I mean, it's probably
digging around
not
in there.
Yeah, they don't need to. Uh-oh. Here comes a chocolate choo-choo train. I told her to drink this stuff, and she didn't. They'll send you home. My father-in-law, he was getting all ready for his colonoscopy, and my wife's taking him in, and he said, "Oh, boy, I'll tell you, last night was mighty tasty." "What?" "Yeah, I had a big old piece of cherry pie. It was delicious." I said, "Well, Pop, we can't do it now, because you weren't supposed to eat anything, remember?"
"Oh,
oh yeah, I forgot." So that might be the hardest part for some people, and it's not long time. It's just, I don't know, just don't eat anything from, they'll tell you, I don't know, midnight or something until, depends on when your procedure is. But it cleans you out. You are clean as a whistle in there, comparatively. clean as a dirty whistle, anyway.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring.
And then they go in there and they look around, and one time they went in there and I believe the number was 8. They said, "You have 8
polyps.
Polyps. You have 8 polyps."
Ew.
There, and then they remove those.
They just
none
burn
of them
off.
And it burns, burns, burns. The ring of fire. The ring of fire.
They put them in a jar for you and send them home with the
yes,
pictures?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, you get to all what that was. When I got my hip replaced last year, it was just about exactly a year ago, I wanted to take home the original ball from the socket of my original hip. And they said, "No, we can't do that. They won't send it home with you." I did ask. I don't know why I would want it, but I thought
it's yours. That's cool. Why.
Yeah, I just thought it'd be kind of cool conversation starter, and I would stick it on the mantle right below the giant picture of the inside of my colon.
Would you have it like in a, like, you know how they have those commemorative baseball stands? Like,
yes, yeah, maybe I would get the doctor to autograph it.
This is my autograph.
They are going to, they have a little camera on the end of this this
tube.
Very flexible tube, and it goes pretty far. It doesn't go all the way to the end of your colon, which I believe, and I'm no scientist, but I believe the length of a colon is about 27 miles.
Is it really? You're kidding,
no.
Right?
No, I don't know. Let me ask Alexa if she knows. Alexa? How long is a human colon?
From answers.com. The human colon is 63 inches in length.
What?
63
inches. 63 inches? Okay, so I was off for a couple hundred yards.
Not surprising.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's the colon. I don't know. Yeah. There's something that's miles long.
That's
maybe
still, 63 inches is what? Isn't that like 6 feet? Or how? Yeah, that's like.
Yeah, it's a ways, but they won't go to the very end, is what I'm saying.
When they unfold it, it's pretty. That's a lot. What if they go past the end? What happens then? What happens there? Where does it go? Into my stomach?
It would go directly into your spleen, I believe. But they usually know where, because they're seeing it. They'll say, "Oh, there's the end. There's a little sign on." But a lot of people don't know this. There's a little sign that says end of road or end of call, colon, something like that.
Bridge
so out. They know. Yeah, bridge out, dead end, something like that. And so they won't go any further.
Okay, because that scares me because I don't want it coming out my mouth. There is a very good documentary that just came out on Netflix that I watched that also reminded me I needed to do this. And this is... it's called Andre is an Idiot. And this is a guy, he lives in San Francisco and he's navigating terminal stage 4 colon cancer. And he does it with so much humor and honesty because he says, I'm an idiot. I had a chance to go get this done and I didn't do it. And just watching him go through this, I highly recommend this documentary. And if you haven't gotten your colonoscopy, this will absolutely make you put it on your calendar because, you know, you've been telling me this for years. And so anyway, there you go. Andre is an Idiot came out last year.
A friend of mine said that a woman in his office, they all worked in these little cubicles, one of those kind of offices.
Yeah.
And a woman came back. She had had a colonoscopy in the morning and she came back to work early in the afternoon. Now, what they do, Lisa, and I don't, and you'll need to read more about this, but when they do the colonoscopy, they want to make sure that the it's easy to get that thing in there. So they shoot air in front. So it's like filling up a balloon a little bit. It widens things out for easier transport.
Up and away.
And in some cases, this never happened to me, but in her case, a lot of that air wasn't expelled until she got to the workplace. And my friend said he could hear her. She would be on the phone to somebody and be, yeah, well, I could probably get that to you. I could probably get that to you by tomorrow or Thursday. Would that work?
Oh, God.
Absolutely humiliated, isn't she?
I probably won't notice the difference.
And then they'll probably you're going to have, I believe, somebody drive you home. The after effects of that twilight or that anesthetic they gave you, it might linger a bit or make you a little dopey for a while.
Yes.
They'll want you to have somebody drive you home.
Yes. All right. That's all. I just wanted to share that with you.
Someone knocking at the door. Somebody ringing the bell.
By the way, Lisa, I want to give a big shout out to my new intern, Todd.
Thanks, Pat.
For playing all those great colonoscopy themed songs today.
Open the door and let him in.
Thank you.
Nice job, Todd.
I got one more queued up.
Well, I don't think we need
Ain't no sunshine when she's
Nah, skip it. Skip it.
Okay.
You know, it's funny you would bring that up. It's not funny, ha-ha necessarily, but there are these little kids that we live in this community that a lot of people love to come and vacation at because they can go canoeing, there are bike trails, swimming. There's lots of things for kids to do. So a lot of people bring their kids here for summer vacation for a few days or a week or whatever. And there are these kids that somehow we've seen them every year for several years, and they're just delightful, sweet kids, and we love them so much. And I was asking them, one time they came to the door, and I was playing some music or something kind of loud, and I turned it down. I said, hey, so do you guys like music? And they go, yeah, we do. I said, oh, and this kid's about 8 years old, Lisa. I said, what's your favorite song? He said, I really like Don't Put a Banana in My Butt. I said, what'd you say? It's called Don't Put a Banana in My Butt. And I said, well, besides being good advice, is that a real song? He said, yeah. Yeah, that Alexa thing there. Yeah, ask her to play it. And so I did. Alexa, play... Oh, I think my real Alexa's
sure,
going to do this.
A custom mix just for you.
Okay, let's just try this right from here. Alexa? Alexa! Play Don't Put a Banana in My Butt.
Here's a mix based on Don't Put Bananas in My Butt by Outer Scope on Amazon Music.
Alexa, stop. Alexa, stop.
Yeah, she's doing a mix.
Here, okay. Here, let me
she
play
went
the,
rogue
let
on
me
you.
Play the real song for you. Here's a bit of
don't put bananas in my butt. No, don't put bananas in my butt. I've told you several times before. My butt is not a banana door. And I say, don't put bananas in my butt. Don't put bananas in my butt.
Bound to be a big hit. Don't put bananas in my butt.
I don't like it. I said, don't put
now,
bananas in my butt.
I'm concerned about this because is yes. this a child?
8 years old.
Is this a child song like the Lemonade
Stand
song?
Don't you think it sounds like a child song? I mean, it sounds like something you might hear on Sesame Street.
But it seems to be really inappropriate.
Oh, yeah,
like I could see it being don't put bananas in my ears. But
and I said don't put bananas in my butt.
Who decided this was? I don't know why I'm so bothered by this.
Well, it begs the question, well, whoever said that we were going to put a banana in your butt? You're bringing up something that I think actually you protest too much, and you actually do want someone to put a banana in your butt.
That is none
of
your business,
me of songs,
sir.
Especially older songs that were considered what they say novelty songs that would always just come short of
right.
profanity.
Freaking telling you to stop putting bananas in my butt.
You think it's going to be and then at the last moment they take a turn. Like this one. This is one we used to play on the radio called Shaving Cream. Remember this one?
Yes, yes, yes.
I have a sad story to tell you. It may hurt your feelings a bit. Last night when I walked into my bathroom, I stepped in a big pile of shaving cream. Be nice and clean. Shave every day and you'll always look keen.
And it goes on like that. And another one, I'll play at the end of the podcast, called Polka Dot Undies, which is a little more tawdry than shaving cream, but again, doesn't quite complete the sentence that you think they're going to complete.
She tells me that I'm full of shaving cream. Be nice and clean. Shave every day and you'll always look keen.
Well, I'll play that at the end. Okay.
So this song is we can't move on from this. This song is bothering me. It actually just was released in 2026.
Oh, it's pretty new. Yeah.
The genre is indeed children's music, but you know, one of the lyrics is, I've told you several times before, my butt is not a banana door, and I say don't put bananas in my butt.
I think maybe you need to make that clear. You could even put a little sign on your front door. If you're here to put a banana in my butt, then go away. But do it with that echo. That'll really sell it.
Hold on. Let me get my... Hold on. Everybody just stop for just one
minute. Put that right on the microphone.
Okay. Don't put bananas in my butt.
All right. I think that's all you need to do. I think it's settled.
Fabulous.
I don't want bananas in my butt. No, no, I don't like bananas in my butt. It hurts.
This episode is really
that's hilarious.
Focused on a particular part of the anatomy that I think we should get off of.
I think you're right. What else did you want to talk to me about?
Well, I just, you know, the usual random kind of stuff. I was watching an episode of a wonderful show that is now completed its final season called Hacks.
Oh, yes, with Jean Smart.
Jean Smart and
that other girl.
And it's really good. But she, if you don't know, Hacks has to do with an older woman who, I guess you could compare her to being a Joan Rivers type or something. Famous stand-up comedian. And this is all fiction, of course, but she is performing in one episode, and a guy in the audience keels over during her performance and dies. And this is is extremely important to her because they're recording this performance on video because she wants to use it to springboard herself into be considered as the host of a brand new talk show that's coming on. So this guy dies during the performance, but she keeps right on going because the cameras are still, and the cameras don't see that the guy has keeled over and is lying dead in the aisle. So she just goes right on ahead and finishes her act. But the audience, of course, is distracted, and it just doesn't work out, and it's not what she wanted. Well, it reminded me of, somebody asked me about this. Did you ever have anything like that happen? And as far as I know, nobody's ever died while I'm giving one of my dumb speeches or at an auction or whatever. But one time I was speaking to a group of cardiologists. You thought I was going to say proctologists, didn't you, to keep that theme going?
Yes, no. I did.
Well, I'm not.
Was a plot twist I didn't see coming.
I'm staying away from that now. I'm done with that thought.
Everybody,
if you got a banana, just keep it away from my butt.
They're all cardiologists, and one of the guys comes up to me. There's a dinner with it as well. And I'm supposed to speak for 45 minutes. He comes up to me and said, "Oh, I didn't know you were going to be the guest speaker." And it was very kind. And he said, "My wife is a really big fan. I'm gonna call. Is it okay with you? I'm gonna call her and tell her to drive down here because she would love to see this."
That's so nice.
I said that's really sweet. He said, "I don't know if she'll be up for it because she's having chemotherapy, and that I think she had chemo today, and so she might not be feeling well enough to come. But I'll call her and see." Well, she does show up. She comes, very sweet lady. And so then it's time for me to start doing my thing, and I'm partway through it, and I keep looking over at her, and she's laughing. I mean, I wish everybody in the room was laughing as hard as she was. She was a great audience all by herself. And I'm continuing on, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden I look, and I see her keel over in her chair. She's on the floor. Now, I guess if you've got to faint or pass out, it's nice to be in a room full of doctors because they were all over her right away. Got her sitting up, and she was embarrassed, of course. And then somebody said to me, "Okay, I think she's okay," even though she continued just to sit on the floor. She was sitting up, but on the floor. And they said, "Why don't you go ahead and continue with your stuff there?" And I thought, is that a good idea? I don't know if I want to do that. But I did. I soldiered on. But nobody laughed at anything after that. They were too distracted. Everybody was looking at her, not at me. That's really tough. And it's tough. You say, well, they're paying me. I guess I should finish this thing. But the net result was not very satisfying for anybody in the room.
Yeah.
Happy to say, though, that I got to talk to her afterwards, and she was back up and smiling and seemed okay. But that was a tough one. The other tough one was one time in the middle of my remarks in a hotel ballroom, they had candles on every table, and real candles. And one of them somehow got knocked over and tablecloth on fire.
Oh, my God.
And the sprinklers came on in the room. Everybody had to file out of there quickly and stand out in the parking lot of this hotel as the fire trucks came up and assured everybody that the fire was out, sprinklers were off. We went back in there, and again, trying to resume after that, it just doesn't work. It was a failure. Then another time I'm speaking to this firefighters association, and I show up early, and the guy who had hired me was the president of the local firefighters association somewhere in Seattle. And he was very enthusiastic and I said, "Tell me a little about this event." He said, "Well, we build an event around just a general meeting that we have of the firefighters. And we also elect officers for the committee. And I'm the president now, and I'm up for a second term and I'm probably going to win. And I love the job, love the folks around me. And so that's what's going to happen." So I get up there and they're about to announce, bring me up. The guy I was talking to at the beginning comes up first and he goes, "I just found out that I have not been reelected as your president. I'm not happy about that. I think there's a lot of backstabbing that took place in this organization. Some people who just don't like me for whatever their reasons. And you know what? I don't care what you say. I'm not even going to be a part of this stupid organization anymore. And he walked away. And the guy says, okay, here now is guy's going to do some funny remarks. Pat Cashman, Pat, come on up. Oh, my God, Lisa. It was the worst. The whole room's buzzing about this guy stomping off. And he's the guy that hired me. Oh, it was just terrible. So those things happen once in a while. I would love a book of stand-up comedian stories about the big bombs they had or things that went horribly wrong. And you know, that, I think it'd be a fun book.
Well, there you go. Now you know what you've got a little project to do.
There you go.
And now, folks, my story is ended. I think it is time I should quit. If any of you feel offended, stick your head in a barrel of shaving cream. Be nice and clean. Shave every day and you'll always look keen.
I rented a car last time we needed to rent a car. We were on some trip somewhere. And it's one of those cars, and maybe you've had this kind of car. It has a seatbelt warning on it. And the seatbelt warning, it makes a noise, you know, like, it's as if it's a voice saying, put your seatbelt on, put your seatbelt on. Sounds like this. But this particular rental car, if you didn't put your seatbelt on, it got louder and louder.
Oh, really?
And louder. And until you finally say, okay, I'm putting it on. But I always thought, man, what if I just don't put my seatbelt on? How loud is it going to get? Is it a human voice that will finally come on? What did I say? What did I say about your seatbelt? Put it on! Put it on now!
That's kind of brilliant that they have a nagging.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you're nagged enough about it, you'll do it. Just not because you're supposed to, just to shut that voice
shut
up.
Very annoying. I think it's fine for a rental car. I'd have to defeat it if it was my own car. I couldn't handle that. It's just too annoying.
Buckle up for safety. Buckle up. Buckle up for safety. Always buckle up. Buckle up for safety. Everybody buckle up.
Have you ever been to Best Buy? We might have talked about this before.
Yes, I have been to Best Buy. Not recently, but I've sauntered into that.
I haven't been into
before.
A Best Buy for some time now. But they...
Didn't you buy a TV there that you broke?
Oh, yeah. It didn't work. I got it home and it didn't. And then they wouldn't believe me.
That's right.
Yeah.
Was that the last time you went to Best Buy?
Well, we had to jump ugly with them to get our money back. It was not not fun. But the thing with Best Buy is the minute you walk in the door, they make you feel like a criminal. They virtually strip search you. Now, maybe things have changed because I haven't been to Best Buy in a couple of years now. But, I mean, they just size you up when you come in and really scrutinize you. They watch you where you're going down the aisles. I'm thinking, these guys are, what's going to happen? Oh, yeah, you caught me. You caught me trying to sneak out a 55-inch TV under my shirt. You guys are good. Generally, they have big stuff in there. Nobody's shoplifting at Best Buy, are they?
That's true.
I just think, why are you treating people like this? This sucks.
Expert service, unbeatable price, Best Buy.
Hey, you know what surprises me, Lisa?
Yes.
Is that we're at the end of the road here.
We are.
I can't believe it.
The bridge is out. Yes, okay. We are done.
So
dead
I have
end.
So many more things to speak to you about. Do you have anything that we missed?
No, I will share a story with you when you next time you're...
you know story. What? You never do.
I do too. I make notes.
We've got to write this down. You said something last podcast.
I did.
We're out of time, and I'll tell you next time.
Oh.
And then you didn't.
I'll have to go listen to that.
Okay. Well, next time, okay?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you a story about a man stomping off his little stomping his little man feet out. He was mad at me, and I'm going to tell you why. It's
Okay. Now write it down. Put it
I'm
on your screen.
I'm going to. It's
so
look right here. It's right here. I wrote it.
You're reading that book now about women who rule the world.
Yes.
I have picked up, along with apparently a lot of other people, Regime Change, the book by Maggie Haberman and Jonathan Swan.
I want to read that.
It's terrific.
But I'm afraid it's going to just...
Yeah, it won't make you happy, but it is really well written and really well resourced.
All right.
But there's something I noticed about the cover, and this might be coincidental, but I think it was intentional. The cover is in gold.
Hmm.
I mean, the title is in black, but the book cover itself is gold. Coincidence?
Yeah.
I think not.
Gold finger.
I love it.
Okay, are you ready for this? Now, I'm going to apologize in advance, Lisa, for this
Why?
Joke. It's
Why?
Well, these are not the kind of jokes I like to tell for various reasons.
Is it a dirty joke?
No, it's not even dirty. It's just...
dumb? Is it a dumb joke?
I was waiting to tell this joke until we had done a podcast about colonoscopies.
okay.
Because
well.
It's I don't mean this to be a tasteless joke. It's just stupid. And that's why I'm going to tell it.
Good. Okay? I like it already.
Here's a stupid joke.
Okay.
A man was waiting for his wife to give birth. The doctor came in and...
I'm sorry.
He's telling the dad.
You have a son. He's been born, however, without torso, arms, or legs.
The son really was nothing more than a head. What do you think?
Is that the end of the joke?
Well, it could be. No, it's not.
I do have a lot of questions, but I will let you continue.
Okay.
I more than likely will answer them as we go along here.
Okay. So the dad grew to love his son, and he raised him as well as he could, with love and compassion.
Sure.
And when the son turned 21 years old, he was old enough for his first drink. So dad took him down to the... This is so stupid. His dad takes him down to the bar and tearfully tells everybody in the bar, and especially his son, how proud he is of him. Dad ordered up the biggest, strongest drink for this boy. And with all the bar patrons looking on curiously, the bartender was shaking his head in disbelief. The boy took his very first sip of alcohol and... whoosh, a torso popped out from under the boy's head.
What?
Yeah, the bar was dead silent, and then they burst into whoops of joy. The father was shocked, and he said, son, take another drink. The boy did, and swoop, two arms popped out.
Shut up.
The bar was going wild.
Of course.
The father was crying and wailing. He begged his son, drink another one, please. The patrons were all chanting that, too. Take another drink! Take another drink! At that point, the boy was getting tipsy. And with his new hands, he reached down, grabbed his drink, guzzled the last of it, and whoosh, two legs popped out.
Shut up. They did not.
Yes, it's incredible. It's a true story, by the way. The boy.
I can't hardly believe this.
The bar is just in chaos. The father thanked God. The boy stood up on his new leg.
Oh, my God.
Stumbled a little bit to the left and
sure.
then to the right, but he was walking, and he walked boldly out the front door and onto the street.
And a truck ran into him and killed him instantly.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Not so funny now, is it?
No, that's terrible.
The bar fell silent.
Of course they did.
The father moaned in grief. Oh. The bartender cleaned his glasses and he whistled an old Irish tune. And the father looked at the bartender in disbelief and said, My son was just killed. How can you be so cold, so callous to be whistling a little Irish tune? How can you be like that? And the bartender said, you know something? That boy should have quit while he was ahead. I'm sorry.
I don't know why that was so stupid and funny. I'm ashamed that I laughed at that, but that.
You might tell that during your colonoscopy to see how it goes over.
I think I could.
Well, I went for a drive in my pickup truck. I picked up my girl because I wanted to show her my gloves because she had on her mitts. And I blushed brightly when she showed me her perfume that she buys whenever Avon calls. So I took off my pants and I showed her my polka dot undies. Sharp corner, go up on the grass. She leaned out the window and I thought I saw her pointing to something that flashed by real quick. She said, hey, look at that, it looks just like your polka dot undies. Polka dot undies. Well, I took her out to dinner, but on one thing she was firm. She'd swallow almost anything except for stories that her brother didn't like birds, but hung around leather bars and liked to eat fish and chips, and he still sucked his thumb. I said, I don't mind, and she kissed me on my polka dot undies. My polka dot undies. Softly, and I said, I'll tell you what, let's roll up the windows and I'll eat your last bar of chocolate, the one that's in the parcel. She said, no, 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 and she called me a taxi. And I said, I beg your pardon, but get me home real fast before I lose my polka dot undies. Polka dot undies. The moral of the story, like a jewel, it is gleaming, but you'll never find it in a glass of warm milk or tea, cause it will not fit, and you probably already think I am full of fake innuendos and double-meaning rhymes, but I'll tell you that obscenity is all in your polka dot undies, your polka dot undies.
Thanks for listening to Peculiar Podcast.
Hey, goodbyes.
Join Pat and Lisa online at peculiarpodcast.com.
The gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
And on the Peculiar Podcast Facebook fan page.
Sweet.
On Twitter at Peculiar Podcast, at Mr. Pat Cashman, and at Foster Chick.
Join us and live in peace, or pursue your present course and face obliteration.